you're ready for the Word of God here this morning. Well, glory to God. Just so good to see everybody here. Amen. We just love you, and you're appreciated, and God's got awesome things in store for us. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you want to go to Colossians chapter 3, this morning I'm going to call this message, Letting Go of Bitterness in the Home. Or you could say it this way, letting go of bitterness within the family. Hallelujah. Whoa, where'd the shouting go? Where'd the praising go? Oh, praise the Lord. We have to talk about things of the home. You know why? Because the real you is not really here today. I mean, we try to be as real as we possibly can in church, but I'll tell you what, it's easy to show up at church and it's easy to put a smile on your face. It's easy to clap our hands to the music sometimes and just be involved. But I tell you what, the real you is you that's behind closed doors at home where no one can see. It's that conduct that is going to qualify you for God's blessing in your life. What you're doing in your private time, what you're doing, you know, in the home, what you're doing within your marriage, what you're doing, you know, and how you raise kids and how you treat children. I'll tell you what, that's the real you, and that's the conduct that's going to determine whether or not that God can bless you. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to get into some things here today, and it might be challenging. You know, some of it's going to be encouraging, some of it's going to be correcting. But how many of you know the Bible says, Jesus said over there in Revelation 3:16, he said, as many as I rebuke, I love. So when we get rebuked or chastened by the Lord, it's just him saying he loves us, right? Sounds a lot like Proverbs chapter 3, my son, grow not weary at the Lord's correction. For whom he corrects, he loves, even as a father, a son in whom he delights. God delights in us, so he corrects us. Isn't that what we do with our children? You know, sometimes God has to speak loudly to keep us from getting hurt. Wouldn't you use a louder voice if your child was running towards a busy street or a busy road? You would use a loud voice and try to stop them before they get hurt, right? Sometimes God has to speak louder to us to get our attention. And a lot of times he's speaking to us about things in the home, things in our private lives. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're going to go right to where you live today. Praise the Lord. People are suffering because they're not staying in the lane that God has chosen for them. And what I mean by that is that there are certain roles that we have in life, and whether or not we follow God's instruction for that role will determine whether he can use us, whether he can bless us, whether he can have an opportunity to get to our life. Amen. You know what I mean? I'm talking about if you're a husband, if you're a father, if you're a wife, right? If you're a mother. I'm talking about these chosen roles in the home that we have to follow the instruction of God in those certain roles if we're going to be blessed. Oh, come on now. Praise the Lord. So many people don't adopt God's instruction for the role that they're in life, right? This is God's way of making us successful. God wants you to succeed. It says over there in John chapter 15, right around the 8th or 9th verse, it says, herein is God glorified that you bear much fruit. And if you aren't bearing fruit in the home, you can't bear fruit anywhere. God starts everything. A minister is qualified or disqualified, whether based on his conduct in the home. A Christian, the blessings, provision. I'll tell you what, if you aren't going to decide to live in a godly marriage, if you aren't going to decide to be a godly parent, then all the tithing in the world isn't going to do you a bit of good. You're going to undo your other works by what you're conducting in your home. Don't undo your other works. Yeah, but people jump out of their lane, and they've chosen their own standard. But here's just the point. God doesn't bless your standards. He blesses his standards. He doesn't bless your dreams. He blesses his dreams. He's not paying for your plan. He's paying for his plan. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we need to get a hold of what God's plan is. We need to get a hold of what he wants. So many people, oh, Lord, bless this. I choose this. I choose that. I choose that for myself. Now, Lord, help me get there. That's wrong. It's God, what do you have? Not my will, but your will be done. What's your plan, Lord? Show me that. Give me strength to get into your plan for my life. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to talk about things of relationships today. We're going to talk about whether marital relationships, right? Praise the Lord. Let's go to Colossians 3:16. Because the real you is what you're doing outside of here. This is where you learn. You're here to pick up some things so you can take it home. I always say it this, it's like the spiritual grocery store. You know, you come here, you pick some things off the shelves, you take them home, but the cooking is up to you. I'm not going to enforce the cooking. I'm not going to oversee whether or not you're doing these things. The Bible tells us in James 1:25 that those that will be doers of the word and not forgetful hearers only, they will be blessed in all of their deeds. They'll be blessed in all their deeds because they do the word. And it starts doing the word in your marriage. It starts doing the word in how you raise children, how you conduct yourself in the home, how you conduct yourself with finances. I'm not speaking on finances today, but I'm telling you it's definitely included, right? How you handle money and so on. All right. Colossians 3:16, it says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Yeah, don't you want God's word dwelling in you richly? Aren't you hungry for more of his word? I want to know more. I want to get more of God. It comes through his word. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. All right. Teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, that's not just a praise and worship time at church thing. You know what I mean? You know, but I tell you what, if you can't at least praise and worship while the praise band is anointed up there, if you can't do that, you know, when that's going on, then you're not doing that at home. The reason why some people, they come to church and they go through praise and worship time with a dull look on their face, they don't ever praise, they don't ever shout or anything, they're not doing that at home. This is where you come to practice. But anyway, we're not talking about praise and worship, but just a little side note there, right? It says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. I love the first two words of those last few verses there. It says, wives submit, husbands love, children obey. All right, we're dismissed today. That's church. Just go out, right? Wives submit, husbands love, children obey. And we can say we've had church. Praise the Lord. But notice this, he's talking about let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And he starts talking about the things that will be evident when the word of Christ is dwelling richly in you. Some people, they think, well, the word of Christ dwells richly in me because I had a vision this week. Or I had a vision of Jesus. Or I performed 3 miracles this week. And people think that that's what makes a person filled with the word of God. No, when he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, he's saying, let's see how you conduct yourself in your home. Yeah. Let's see how the wife is treating the husband. Let's see how the husband is treating the wife. Let's see the environment of how they're raising children. That's how you'll find out whether the word of Christ is dwelling in you richly. I love how practical God is. We think, oh, we need a sensational miracle. We need a vision of an angel or something like that. God said, yeah, how are you living in your home? I don't care how many angels you've seen. I don't care how many visions you've had. I don't care how many people you've laid your hands on and seen the healing in their body. If you aren't living a stable home life, none of it matters. Because the word of Christ dwelling in you richly means a stable home life. No bitterness in the home or with the family. Not with children to parent, not from parent to parent, not from children to sibling, not from parent to sibling. No bitterness. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. All right, so it tells us the lane that we're supposed to live in. All right, here's the wisdom of God towards wives. Number one, wives, submit. All right, and we'll talk about that. The wisdom of God to husbands is husbands love. That's the instruction for your role. Right? The instruction of God for a wife is to submit. And we'll talk about what that means, because some people have some weird idea what that means. That does not mean that a woman is to be dictated by a man and he's King Kong in the family and that she has no say and all that stuff. We know it's not talking about that, because it goes on to say, husbands, love your wives. A husband can't love his wife and be King Kong in the house. Guys, you're not King Kong in the house. It's not your way or the highway. Well, that went over really well. That would have been a real good opportunity for you guys to say amen. And of course, the instruction of children is to obey. This tells us the lane or the instruction that God wants us to run in. And until we submit or adopt these instructions, we won't be blessed. Right? Praise the Lord. But also, when it tells us what God's role is for us, or he tells us the instructions he has for these different roles, it also tells us what our greatest temptation will be in those areas. If God's instruction for a wife is to submit, then her number one temptation as a wife would be not to submit. Her number one temptation would be to rule the family. Her number one temptation would be highly opinionated against her husband. Ooh, gals. We'll talk about that here in a minute. If the Lord's instruction for a husband is to love and not to be bitter against his wife, that means the number one temptation against a husband would be to be bitter against his wife. And we're going to talk about what some things mean to be bitter. Hallelujah. And obviously, if a child's number one instruction is to obey their parents, it's telling us probably what their number one temptation is to disobey parents. All right? Yeah, amen. So a wife, no doubt, is tempted to not be submissive or to be highly opinionated. A man's temptation is not to love his wife and be bitter. And children's temptation is to disobey their parents. All right, let's start with the wives. Now, isn't this interesting? He's talking about letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The word wisdom means God's instruction for you. People think wisdom is just a matter of age or gray hair, and praise God for age and gray hair. But I mean, sometimes we think it's just a matter of experience. No, there's plenty. You can have gray age but not have wisdom. And you can have, you can be young and not have any wisdom. Wisdom isn't a matter of how old you are or how experienced you are, though that might supplement some wisdom. But what wisdom is a matter of obeying God. Who's the wisest person in the room? The person who's obeying God fully. That's real simple, isn't it? Sometimes we think wisdom is a matter of, just living life. No, it's a matter of obeying God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, because wisdom of God is God's instruction for you. All right? And here it starts. Notice when God starts instructing the home, he starts with the wives. Do you notice that not only in Colossians chapter 3, but also in Ephesians chapter 5, he starts the same exact way. He says, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, what is the ranking in the home, or who is the spiritual leader in the home? Husbands are. So why does God start talking about wives first? Because if a wife does not stand in her role, the husband will have no one behind him helping him get into spiritual headship. I'll tell you what, behind any man that did anything great was a greater woman. Oh, come on, ladies, you need to help me out. That was real good for you. There's probably more ladies than men here today. I'm trying to get the majority on my side early. No, seriously, it's just the truth, though. It is just the truth. Because without the wife running her role, the husband will never get to his place of spiritual headship. Oh. But let's look at the instructions of the Lord to wives. The instruction to wives is this word, submit. Now, so many times that's been twisted, and men have said, submit, woman. You're going to do what I want, when I want it, blah, 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 blah. No, you're not King Kong. Because King Kong, that's not love. And we'll talk about guys who think I'm going to be hard on the gals. Wait till I get to you. The word submit here, it means to follow one's example. to follow one's example. Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of husbands out there that are not fit to be followed, and that's the sad thing. The word submit means to yield to another. It means, now here's the highest definition of submit. It means to prefer another for the sake of honor. To prefer another for the sake of honor, it means to revere. It means to listen to. Now listen up. This word submit or submission means to speak well of. Here's another one. To hold a high opinion of your husband. Listen to this. To use your opinion favorably upon him, not against him. This is where, again, I'm not trying to criticize, but this is the temptation that follows so many women, is to be opinionated against their husband. Oh, your opinion, God gave you an opinion, gals, but you are to choose the high road and to use the opinion for him, not against him. The word submit here means an act of honor or reverence. Gals, know this, that your husband's number one need is honor. God made man to thrive on ego. I'm not talking about excessive pride. I'm talking about a God-ordained place of honor. The Bible tells us over there in Ephesians 5:21, it says, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Yeah, as unto Jesus. The husband is the Jesus representative in the home, and so is the wife. But a wife, how she treats her husband is how she treats Jesus himself. That's absolutely right. Some of you look so thrilled about this today. I wish I need my phone, or maybe I could take some pictures on this thing. And real quick, send them to you. And maybe you have your phone in your seat there, and you get a picture and see what you look like in church and straighten it up a little bit. Smile. God loves you today. To submit to your husband means to withhold negative opinions. To ask him what his solution is for the issue first. So many times, women, women are dynamic problem solvers, awesome solution finders. And that's dynamic, but you should ask the husband what his solution is first. Well, I was popular with the ladies about 5 seconds ago. Not so much. All right. Ladies, do not force your own will onto a situation. Because what you start to do is you start to undermine God's chosen headship for the home. God's chosen headship for the home is the man. And if a woman is just always beating him down with negative opinions, always forcing her will, always have to have it her way and things, it's now going to throw the whole leadership of the home out of order. It's going to throw it all out of order. Well, praise the Lord. Hold your place there in Colossians 3. We're coming right back to it. Go over to 1 Corinthians 11. Go to 1 Corinthians 11. You know right where I'm going. Praise the Lord. Go to 1 Corinthians 11:3, just because some of you look kind of shocked about when I said that. And gals, don't you be thinking that I'm giving your husbands license to dominate you. Because you wait until we get to the guys. I'm always harder on the guys than I am on the gals. 1 Corinthians 11, and let's start in verse 3. This is the instructions of God to the church concerning marriage and in authority within the home. He says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. This is God's perfect authority instructions within the home. The top of the chain, God the Father. Under him, Jesus the Son. Under him, the man or the husband, and under him, the wife. All right? And that when, because Jesus is perfectly submitted to God the Father, when a man is perfectly and reverently submitted to Christ, he is going to qualify to be a great husband. Yes. All right? All right? And then the wife submits to the husband who is following Christ. That is very important. Obviously, if you have a husband that doesn't love God, that doesn't care about God, it's going to be very hard. There's going to be times when you can't submit to him, because if you submit to him, you'll be disobeying God. If a husband says, I don't want you to go to that church, but God's called you there, guess who you need to obey? You need to obey God. The Bible says to obey God rather than man. Okay? Hallelujah. If your husband says, I refuse you to tithe of the income, and you have your own income and he refuses, you say, I'm sorry, you're not God. You submit to God first. But in things pertaining to the home that wouldn't require you to disobey God, you submit to him first. Yeah. So I just wanted to show you this verse over here in 1 Corinthians 11 so you understand God's authority structure in the home. Hallelujah. Now flip back over there to Colossians chapter 3. Oh, I've seen it. I've seen it, you know, at the proverbial, she's wearing the pants in the family, you know. You got to be careful about that. You got to be careful about this, ladies. To be speaking to your, I've seen it so many times where the wife has a relationship with her mother, which is awesome, and she will constantly tell her mother negative opinions about him. You are sowing the seeds of destruction in your own marriage. I have had several wives of people that were attending the church that would come to me and say, my husband just won't do this, he just won't do that, he just won't, he won't, he won't, he won't be, he won't be, he won't be. Well, he's in a place of leadership, and leadership is the most highly tested of anyone in the group. Satan always shoots at the leader first. And you gals are going to have to understand that about your husband, that he's in a place, he is in a target zone. And so, yeah, he might have more failures than you, but he has more tests than you as well. Get a hold of this. That's why it says first wives under, you know, that's why he puts wives first in this whole course here. That if a wife doesn't understand that her husband is the first target in the home, it'll help you understand some of the decisions that he makes sometimes. And know this, that our hearts will always be tested by the weaknesses of our leaders. Ladies, you will be tested in your heart when you see your husbands making bad decisions, saying dumb things, or doing dumb things. But it doesn't give you license to hold your opinion as a weapon against him. To tell somebody else what a lousy job he's doing, or to be, God forbid, telling him directly what a lousy job he's doing. Wives, you are the first, outside of Christ himself, you are the first line of encouragement to your husband. And if he loses that, he doesn't have anything else to pull him up. Outside, of course, the Lord himself I'm talking about. You are the first representative in his life to encourage him. That's your role. And the feminists just love it. Well, that was a pretty weak laugh. Well, that doesn't fit our liberal agenda today. It's, you know, women's lib and all this stuff. And, you know, women's lib, I say Adam's rib, right? But we need to understand a little something about Adam's rib. You know, people hear that and they think, oh, you're some kind of sexist or chauvinist. No. Actually, just the opposite. You're going to see that the woman is in a place of high honor in the home. Yeah. Here's what will happen in a home that has an overly opinionated wife. Are you ready? Number one, the husband will be discouraged. Number two, discouragement will lead the man or the husband into depression. Discouragement is the first symptom of depression. Well, come on now. Some of you ladies look so thrilled. You'll be cheering in a minute. As soon as I let loose on the guys, you'll be like, go get them, go, go. You'll be behind me then. The third thing will happen is a man will no longer feel the need to lead. He will be discouraged in his leadership role in the home, and he will feel there's no longer a need for that leadership in the home. You will literally chase him away from spiritual things. A man that is discouraged will not seek God. Women seek God more when they're discouraged. Men don't. They don't seek God when they're discouraged. They have a tendency to run away from God when they're discouraged. And if a woman is taking a leading role in the discouragement of her husband, or she's not standing in that proper role of encouraging him, he'll be discouraged. It could lead to depression. He will no longer feel a need to lead, right? The fourth thing that will happen, thank you for those two token amens out there. The fourth thing that will happen is it will create the wrong order. It now will undermine God's plan for the home, and now the God's chosen head for the home will be undermined. Right? It'll be circumnavigated. You know, they'll go around God's leadership. There will be authority that will be usurped. When anyone stands in a place of authority that God has not graced them for, they get hurt. That happens in churches. Someone becomes a pastor that God didn't call to be a pastor. They get hurt. Because when God puts weight or responsibility on your shoulders, he must also provide the grace for you to stand under that calling. If you take a calling that God didn't grace you for, it's the weight of it will crush you. Same thing with a woman who tries to lead the home. If she undermines the authority of her husband, she will be taking upon herself a grace she's not called to. God blesses you in your lane. Stay in your lane. Don't get out of your lane. Encourage your husband. Say, well, my husband is just unencourageable. I mean, well, maybe you couldn't lift him out of his discouragement in a day or a week. But what if you did this as a lifestyle? What would 1 year from now look like? What would 2 years from now look like? Okay, so maybe it didn't change in a week. Get out of that fast food mentality. God didn't call you to reverence your husband for a week. He calls you to reverence your husband for life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The guys are all excited right now. Oh, yeah. God's on my side. Well, we're going to get to you. It will create a wrong order. The man, God's chosen headship, is now undermined and has gotten out of order. You know when something is out of order, when you see a vending machine that has that sign on it, what does that tell you? It tells you it doesn't work. Nothing good can come out. You can push the buttons all day long. You can hammer on the machine. You can shake it. I've done that, I admit. I don't know what it is with the Baby Ruth or the Snickers bar and those little little coils that are in there that they spin, and it always hangs up at the last second, the thing's dangling over the edge. You know, and you gotta... You gotta throw your shoulder into it, and then you listen for it to hit the bottom. Click, click, clink. Right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, this is what happens when something is out of order. Nothing good can come out. Right? Right? It's like a vending machine. You're not gonna be eating it. You're not gonna be eating the good of the land. You're not gonna be walking in the provision. The blessing won't come out. It won't work no matter how much you shake it. All the buttons you push. Well, maybe I should give more. Start pushing the buttons. Maybe I should serve more. Maybe I should work more. Maybe I should do all this more. Nothing is going to come out until you get the order right. You can't replace one act of righteousness with another. You can't say, well, okay, I'm not an honorable wife, but I pray and I give and I serve in church. Well, all your giving, all your serving, all your praying means nothing. Because what's the first step of the word of Christ dwelling in you richly? How you act at home. How you act at home. Oh, I want to be on worship team, Pastor Tim. How do you act at home? Well, what does that matter? I'm a good singer. Listen, God cares very little about your talent. He cares everything about your character. He doesn't care how well you play the guitar. He cares more how well you're conducting yourself when no one else sees. God said, remember Jesus said, when you pray, go and lock yourself in your room, pray privately to your heavenly Father, and he will reward you openly. When you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is giving, right? Don't announce your giving in the marketplaces, right? Don't announce it in the marketplaces and shout it out loud for everyone to know. He said, give to God in secret, and he will reward you openly. Notice God rewards the private life. Some of you are feeling all sorts of convicted because you had yourself a little love quarrel on the way to church. Know this, the devil is going to always try to kick over things in the home first. He's going to try to get you upset at your spouse. He's going to try to get the order wrong, because if the order is wrong in the home, everything else stops. People are wondering why their tithing isn't working for them. Then they go home and they tell their spouse how rotten they are or how short they fall. Listen, your spouse already knows how far they fall short. I know I do. I'm more aware of my faults and my shortcomings. I'm more aware of them than anyone else. Right? Aren't you? Know what I mean? Aren't you? Do you need somebody? And of course, I mean, please know, my wife is tremendous. You know, so I am not talking about what I have to face in the home, because I don't face this in the home. But I've seen so many cases where, I mean, these spouses are just beating each other up. They got every sort of leverage. Is not your goal in marriage. They're always looking for the next act of leverage. They almost are glad when their spouse does something against them. So it's like, oh, now the ball's in my court now. You didn't finish that project on time. You didn't paint the porch on time. Now you're gonna pay. You didn't take the garbage out. You missed the spring cleaning. You didn't do this. You didn't mow the yard on time. You didn't do this. You didn't talk to my mom on the phone. You didn't watch the kids long enough. All these things, and people start to take the leverage into their court. Say, oh, now the leverage bar is in my hand. Listen, I'll tell you what, love never makes somebody pay. Owe no man anything except to love him. What does that mean? That means love does not make you pay. Literally, the word love means to forbear. I've used this example before, but I have college loans, student loans that I took out when I went to college to become a school teacher. And I have student loans and things. And they come along with this really neat little thing built into them. It's called the forbearance. Don't you love the forbearance? Some of you don't know what a forbearance is. A forbearance means that they write it into the terms of the loan that you have a certain amount of months or certain amounts of time during that loan that you don't have to pay. Yeah. Forbear means you don't have to pay today. That's what love does. Love gets mistreated and says, I won't pay you back. I'm not going to pay you back what you paid me. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the love of God. And so it'll create the wrong order. Nothing good's coming out. You've undermined the headship of the home. And now the fifth thing that will happen in the home with an overly opinionated wife is that he will no longer step out to lead. He will no longer go out on a limb. I'll tell you what, leadership, when you're in leadership, you always have to take chances. Leadership, there's a lot of so-called risk in leadership. There's a lot of vulnerability. You have to put yourself out there, and leaders make mistakes. But if a woman makes her man pay for his mistakes, he will no longer have the boldness to step out and try to lead. He needs to be encouraged. You got to stroke that ego. Brother, you weren't supposed to amen so loud over there. Praise the Lord. Gals, do you get this?
Yes.
Wives, are you getting a hold of this?
Yes.
Now let's go to to the next verse in Colossians 3. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives. And it goes on to say, and be not bitter against them. Here's your instruction in your role, husbands. And now if you're sitting here, well, I'm not married yet. Well, if you're going to be married, if you've ever been married, you know, pretty much if you're a human being, this still goes for you. Because I don't believe that God has only called husbands to love. I believe he's called all Christians to love. I don't believe that he's just called husbands not to be bitter. I believe he's called all of us not to be bitter. Amen? So he says, husbands, love your wives. There goes your King Kong license right there out the window. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, it gives us how a husband should love. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, you can, guys, you can buy your wife every gorgeous piece of jewelry, every diamond, gold-encrusted thing out there, but the number one thing that she wants is you. It says that Christ gave himself. Get a hold of that. He gave himself. Yes, a man should be generous to his wife. Yes, he should buy her gifts. Yes, he should bestow those things upon her because that's what Jesus does for us. But I'm making the point that the first thing, if a guy just tries to, you know, to buy back his bitterness.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've been bitter. Well, I'll just cover it with a new pair of earrings, a new diamond bracelet. I'll get her the vehicle she's wanted. I have known so many wives that have been in that situation. Yeah, her husband put her in a nice car. Yeah, he puts nice jewelry on her. Yeah, she has nice clothes, but she doesn't have him, and she knows it, and she's still unhappy. Get a hold of that. God is so good, isn't he? Husbands, your instruction is to love. Notice, love is impossible while bitterness is in place. Love is the opposite of bitter. Bitter is referring to offended. Husbands, you are not to be offended at your wives. You are not to hold offense. Husbands, get a hold of this. Oh, praise the Lord. So many husbands, they get offended because she spent too much at the store. She scratched the truck. My wife hasn't done that, glory to God. You know, they spent too much. The dress was too expensive. They did something. And the husband gets bitter. He gets offended. He holds on to that leverage. Oh, come on. And they get bitter. You can't be in the love of God and be bitter. You can't be offended and still be in faith. Notice this, when eating, bitter is a flavor. And bitter is a flavor, and some foods are bitter, but that doesn't mean those foods are wrong, right? In the same way, a man can say certain things to his wife that aren't wrong, however, he's striking the wrong tone. Husbands, you set the tone in your home. You set the flavor that's in your home. And I'll tell you what, so many times, listen. I've seen so many families where the wife is so scared to tell anything to the husband because she is so used to his bitterness. If she tells him something that was wrong, maybe, you know, she did spend a little bit more at the store or she did, you know, put a dent in the car or something, he's going to fly off the handle. And so what she does is she starts hiding things from him. What do people do when they put a bitter tasting food in their mouth? If it's extremely bitter, they what? They spit it out. So many times, you know, men, they thought it was their wives that were hiding things and all that stuff that was the problem in their home. But the men never realized that they're fostering the lies. They're fostering it. She had to do that to defend herself against your bitterness. Yeah. I've seen women hide things. They will hide things. They will hide what the children do. They won't tell the dad because the dad has such a temper, he's going to fly off the handle that he won't be able to discipline in love. And so she's hiding things, and now the head of the home is undermined all over again. Not that lying was ever good, but it was his flavor that caused her to reject his leadership. Yeah. Here's the first thing that will happen to a husband who's bitter with his wife. His leadership will be rejected. This is just a rule in leadership overall. People don't follow you, they don't want to follow you because they have to. They want to follow you because they want to. The highest form of leadership that exists is when people follow you because of your character and your kindness and your truth, your sincerity. That's what people want to follow. But if she follows you just because she has to, even though you're bitter, she's going to reject it. She's going to spit it out, so to speak, right? She is not going to withhold that negative flavor forever. Guys, are you getting a hold of this? It's bitterness to dictate every little thing your wife does. It says, love your wives, husbands. You know what love looks like? It looks like trust. It looks like trust. Hallelujah. You're going to have to trust your wife. You're going to have to trust her, whether she's working or whatever. You got to trust her character. Because why did you marry her in the first place if you weren't going to trust her? Why would I be in relationship with God if I didn't first trust Him? My relationship with my Father God is all built on trust. And it would be silly to make this covenant with God and then not to trust Him with my needs, my finances, my health. Marriage, when you get into marriage, you get it all the way.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Amen. Oh, amen. Yeah. Yeah. Love isn't just the absence of hurting somebody. Love is the presence of a good tone. It's not what you said to her, it's how you said it. Yeah. Your tone matters. Yeah, oh my goodness, absolutely. Well, I've been good, I've bought this, I've paid the bills, I've put food on the table. Yeah, but no one likes being around you. Yeah. You know? Well, I'm this and I'm that and I'm a provider and I work hard. Who keeps the lights shining around here? It's me. Well, yeah, no one likes you. No one wants to be around a man who just thinks he's the man. You know, has no humility. Thinks he's the one keeping the lights burning. Guess what, guys? You're not the ones keeping the lights burning last time I checked. Yeah. Say, well, I've worked and I've earned it. No, you didn't. What, did you make your own strength? Did you give you life? Did you die on the cross and shed your blood for you? No. I like what Jacob said, the patriarch of old, as he was getting ready to go home and be with the Lord. He was leaning against his staff, and he said, I pray to the God of Israel, who has fed me every day of my life. He said, God feeds us. God puts food on the table. God provides our needs. God did it. God did it. God did it. No one wants to be around an arrogant man. Yeah. See, that's exactly it. They say, well, I haven't hurt anybody. I've done well for this family. But what was your tone? Yeah. See, the only thing that can overturn something bitter is something sweet. Yeah. Sweetness is your only hope of removing the bitterness. Right. Have you ever heard of this? Now, I am not some food connoisseur. I mean, I like to eat like you do, you know. But, I mean, give me a cheeseburger. I mean, give me a pot roast and some potatoes and gravy. I don't need duck a la whatever, you know. Though I've had duck, I like duck actually, but I'm a simple guy. I mean, I like hot dogs and macaroni and cheese. We have a good supply of ramen noodles at the house. I don't need something fancy, and I don't know all the food lingo, and I'm not a culinary artist or anything like this, but I've heard of these things that are called palate cleansers. You know, and I've been to some nice restaurants, and you get your salad first and your appetizer, and then before the main meal comes out, they bring you a palate cleanser. Yeah. It's either like this real tiny little ball of like sherbet, or some fruit, iced fruit or something, and they set this little thing in front of me. I'm like, what's that? What is it? What is this? Like a warm up to dessert? What is this, a tease? What is this? You know, this little ball of sherbet or something. I said, that's your palate cleanser. And what that does is that it removes the taste of whatever you just ate, and it gets you ready for your main meal. Meaning if you had something bitter, you know, if there's a lingering taste, that sweetness of that iced fruit or that sherbet or whatever it is, sherbet, if you're in a real fancy place. You know, did I scare you, Pastor Brad? You know, and what it does is it removes that bitterness. And I notice everything about palate cleansers, they're sweet. It is time for you guys to get a palate cleanser. It's time for you to start producing a different flavor. And start being sweet and start being kind in your home. Because your wife and your children aren't going to want to follow you if you're grumpy all the time. Oh, guys, I'm going to tell on you and me. Have you ever been there and you start to get hungry? And you just notice that your attitude starts to really stink? Has any other guy faced that? Guys, you are just grumpy when you don't get fed. I know, because I'm a guy. Uh-oh, I'm seeing, like, glances being exchanged. Pastor Brad, I think someone's telling on you, brother. Yeah, Pastor Brad, all of a sudden I noticed you start leaning forward a lot. He's like, he's getting out of the way. I think some glances are going from his wife to my wife. I'm already up here. I'm already out of the way. But guys get grumpy. I'm going to tell on myself. Are you ready? I'm going to tell on myself. This is where I had to come to my family the other day and repent before my wife and kids. Do you realize that a man should be doing that? When you've lost your temper, you haven't been sweet, I knelt down in front of my boys and in front of my wife. I took their hands. I said, Daddy's had a bad attitude today. Daddy was grumpy. Daddy was snotty. That's not right. Daddy's always telling you to have a good attitude, and that's how God blesses you. I've had the wrong one. Because you know what makes me grumpy is home projects. Don't nod your head too fast. I mean, I am not a DIYer. Did I say it right? DIY, did I say DIY? Whatever, two vowels in there, it gets it mixed up. DIY, did I say DIY? Whatever. But I'm not a do-it-yourselfer. It's not that I'm so incapable, I just can't stomach home repair stuff. Even down, I'm going to confess, I don't even like to hang pictures on the wall. I come from a family of mechanics, of engineers, builders. I mean, my dad and my grandfathers, they built houses. My dad built computer systems. He installed the computer system that ran Hammett Hospital. Super capable people, and I can't even stand to put one nail in the wall. And you know what? It'd be different if it was even in someone else's house. But when it's in my house, I just can't stand it. Because I used to, like, when I was a school teacher, during the summers, I'd roof. I was a roofer. And so I wasn't scared to work. Right. I mean, we'd work from sun up to sundown. I mean, I still to this day have bruises inside both my big toes from carrying loads of shingles up steep pitch roofs. It bruises your feet. And some of those bruises don't go away unless it's a miracle of God. Right? It doesn't hurt anymore. Just you can just see the effects of it, right? So I'm not afraid to work. And but the other day I was doing a little home assembly project. And I mean, my wife and my kids were, you know, were outside and stuff, and I was working on this thing, and you know, they're walking by me like, "Daddy, man, man, man." I'm like, "Man." "Daddy, are we going to be able to..." "Soon enough, soon enough." "Daddy, daddy, go find your mother. Go find your mother. Go find your mother." You know, we get a laugh out of that, but you know what? That's not what I want to instill into my children. You know, and we've all been there. See, what is that? That's being bitter. That's the wrong flavor that's going to set the tone, that's going to... If that stuff stayed in place long enough, and, I mean, I was out there and God just zinged my heart. He said, "Nice attitude you're having today." You know, you're just like, oh. So, you know, and God tells me every time, he's like, "It's not going to be right until you go repent." And you sit there and the clock just, I mean, the time just stands still. And everything just, you know, you're like, oh, I just had to put the tools down, walk inside. Kids were sitting down for lunch or whatever. Katie was making them lunch. I just had to bring them all into a nice little circle, and I just had to repent before my family. You say, "Well, that's just weird. That's not manly. That's not masculinity." No, that is true masculinity. Because that is the heart of Christ, to give. God so loved the world, he gave. Christ loved it. Husbands, love your wives as Christ gave himself. A husband should be the leading giver in the home. Good. Husbands, you should spend more on your wives than you do on you. Yeah. Come on, ladies, help me out. Amen. Say, "Well, I got this, I got this project, I got my car, I got my boat, I got my snowmobile, I got my jet ski, I got all this stuff." Well, what does she have? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come on, Kate, help me out. Someone, start cheering. Gals. Guys, actually, if anyone should be cheering, it should be the guys. You should have joy. Absolute joy. And guys, I say this. If you got to sell something of yours to get her something nice, then do it. Yeah. I'm not. Again, I have to be an example, but I got to be careful. I'm not saying anything to boast or whatever. How many times God has chosen something out of my closet? There it is. There's your wife's next pair of earrings. Where? Right there on the gun rack. Now, God, you're getting too personal now. That hunting rifle. There's her next pair of earrings. Oh, no, it ain't. I tell you what, it might be somewhere else, but it ain't there. I'll sell the wheels off my truck first. Yeah. Oh yeah. Before it was my guitars. Yeah. You know, God, there's that guitar sitting there. But I want that. Yeah, that's why it's called a sacrifice. If your giving doesn't hurt, it's not giving. I love it when the devil reminds me of all the nice things I could have if I didn't tithe and give big to God. I love it. I say, "Wow, that's great. Thanks, devil. Now you're telling me everything I've sacrificed. Glory, because you're going to remind me of all that I've given up for God. You cannot outgive him. You cannot outdo him. If you give big to God, he gives bigger back to you." So when the devil tries to play that game with me, it's like, "Oh, you're right. Thanks, devil, you're right. I do have big seed in the ground. Big harvest is coming. You're right." We should be doing that for our wives, too. See, bitterness is a reaction inside someone's mouth, right? It's a reaction. And the reason why sometimes wives and children don't react properly is because the flavor is wrong in the home from the husband. Yeah. All right. Are you ready? This is we'll end here. Here's three things that will happen in a home where the husband is bitter. One, wives will feel the need to lie to the husband. She will hide things. That's the second thing. They will hide information about things that have happened, about finances or about things with the children. She will be forced to hide because she's scared of your reaction. God never blesses temper. I'd love to, oh man, I feel like a whole second sermon coming on about that, you know. Can you real quickly bring up, I believe it is, just on the overhead, you don't need to turn there, Proverbs 19:19. I want to tell you guys what you're costing yourself when you lose your temper. Yep, I was right, Proverbs 19:19. A man, I wasn't planning on teaching this, but guys, this will be a good way to go out the door, right? With a good kick in the pants. A man of great wrath or great temper shall suffer punishment. That word punishment means a financial fine. Your anger will cost you. Your bitterness will cost you. It will cost you, yes, money. It could cost you health. But more than that, it'll cost you control. Yeah. It'll cost you the greatest thing that you need in your life, and that's stability.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So this is what happens. Wives will feel the need to lie to their husbands. Two, they will hide information from them. And the third thing that will happen is it will prevent the husband from being the right disciplinary in their home. Because a man that loses control shouldn't be disciplining his kids. Or what I should say, let me qualify that statement. He should be disciplining his kids, but he should be disciplining them correctly. But a man that cannot hold his temper, if you correct your child out of temper, you'll do damage. You'll do harm. That child isn't going to want to, you know, serve or follow. Because husbands know this, that your flavor is how they dictate God's flavor. If they see you as a temper, enraged, short fuse, quick to, you know, lose your cool, screaming and yelling, that's the picture they're going to have of God. And I'll tell you what, no one wants to serve a God like that.
No.
But you will be held accountable for the picture you paint of God in your home. Did you get some help here today?
Yes.
Husbands, be a giver to your wife. Bless her. Be like Jesus is to his church.
Yes.
Don't be bitter. Yes. Wives, don't use your opinion as a weapon against your husbands. Yes. Don't try to force your will on the situation. Yes. Don't try to correct your husband with words. Don't you know the Bible says that a man cannot be corrected by word?
Right.
Do you know that the Bible gives us insight into a man's makeup, that he is not corrected by the words of his wife, and he never will be? That's 1 Peter chapter 3. If you want to read it for yourself in the Amplified Bible. It says a man's will not be won over by discussion. Come on, gals, haven't we learned that about guys yet, right? I mean, men don't move. Their hearts aren't changed by anything less than example. Yeah. Did you get some help here today?